and it's the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Education Subcommittee, and we're here today for an informational meeting focused on the Community College capital construction projects, and it's great to see a big crowd. Okay, and also we have a pretty packed agenda, so I think the agenda as a total, what we had looked at doing is having our legislative fiscal analyst, Mr. Steve Bender, describe a bit about the financing of post-secondary educational capital construction, sort of how it works, and then we're fortunate to have some of our colleagues from the House, Representatives Dave Hunt and Vicky Berger, who will be giving their perspectives on the capital construction for community college. And then finally, the Commissioner for Community College Services, Cam Torres-Bawley, will present information to help us see the costs and the benefits, and so we have an opportunity to ask questions. So the idea is to adjourn at about 4:30, and I know there's a lot to talk about, and I see that, again, Representatives Hunt and Representative Berger are here. So I don't know if, Steve, if it would be worth sort of 5 minutes of your time to just start off, or would you suggest starting off with the representatives? I don't know how you're...
Mr. Chair, I believe the community colleges had an expectation that the first 15 minutes or so would be taken up by other items. It may be better, since I'm always here and many people have come from far for this, just to bump me from the schedule and let me make my presentation at some future time.
All right, thank you. So that made it easier for me. So, all right. Well, Steve is always magnanimous. So, well, to start off this informational meeting, I would like to invite, and I assume you're both going to come up at the same time, Representatives Dave Hunt from House District 40 and Representative Vicky Berger from House District 20 to start us off this discussion, this informational meeting about community college capital construction projects. And I really thank you for taking the time to come speak before the committee.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's nice to be here. We appreciate the opportunity to be here. This is part of the 40-20 plan, right?
Right.
Right, Representative Berger. For the record, Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. I think this is a real opportunity this session to make some major investments. And one of the key areas that I think Representative Berger and I and a lot of you and a lot of our colleagues see as a real opportunity is to make that investment in community college capital construction. And that's really true for a variety of reasons. And you'll have to excuse me, I just flew in from a funeral in Salt Lake this morning, so this side of my head is still clogged. So excuse me if I'm talking too loudly or too softly. You will notice in the governor's budget that the governor did include a package of 12 projects for community colleges. There will be the fuller list that will be introduced as a separate vehicle, which includes all 15 projects. The community colleges, all 17 schools across the state, went through a very collaborative process during the interim. Not only came up with a targeted list of projects that really were very much workforce development focused, but also actually prioritized them out. Rank them out in order, agreed on that list, and we think it's important to honor the intent of that list and the hard work and collaboration that went into that list. So the total list you will see will be for 15 projects totaling $108 million. The good news about that is it then leverages an additional at least $108 million more, because each of those projects require a match from their local community college district. So it's, as you look at investments that we can make, especially on the capital side, this is one of the best ones. Not only do we get really good workforce development-related projects, but we get that tremendous match from those local community college districts. It really is an investment in the future. If we're looking toward things that are not only going to be good investments in terms of workforce development today, but also are going to really be lasting investments that help our economy grow, help these community colleges serve their expanding student bodies over time. We've got a great opportunity to really focus here. It's one of those few things. A lot of time when we look at investments, Thanks very much. I know Senator Stark finds this a lot on transportation issues. A lot of transportation projects, you know, might serve just a given area. This is one of those packages that just by design serves rural, urban, suburban areas across our entire state. A real positive economic boost, a real positive economic development boost, great educational boost. And so we would just put that before you, encourage you to act favorably and with relative haste this session, and make this powerful investment in our future. With that, I yield to my friend and colleague,
thank you,
Representative Berger.
Thank you, members of the committee. Vicki Berger, State Representative, District 20. Representative Hunt and I considered ourselves sort of an important part of what we call the Community College Caucus last session. We worked very hard to get this ball rolling and finally get reinvesting in our community college system in its infrastructure. And we'd like to keep that ball rolling. So, as you're always and mean folks, I'm going to bring a little message with my chair's permission from the revenue side today and remind you of a couple. I've got a couple of revenue chairs here and remind you of some of the things that we're hearing in revenue. We seem a little flush this session compared to what we've gone through in the last two sessions, and I would submit to you that is exactly the time to make investments that are strategic and that are going to make sense, because it's clear down the line it's not going to be so flush in the very near future. So now we need to get jobs built. We know under any scenario we're going to need Oregonians to have good jobs, to have a stable economy, and that means a well-trained workforce. This is a fundamental investment in that. The other point I'd like to make from the Revenue Committee that was brought up that you folks probably haven't heard yet, and that was vetting on our bond issues and selling these bonds by the Treasurer's Office. And they were very clear that one of the things that the bond rating agencies really appreciate when they go to talk about bonds is that this particular piece has been completely organized, and the community colleges have done their homework. They haven't just thrown out a list, but they have thrown out a strategic list that has a match that is bought into by, it's a system-wide list, and they consider that a real positive when they go to rate these bonds and rate us as a state. So keep that in mind. This is a package of things that isn't brought to you willy-nilly. It's well thought out. There's a lot of people behind us who know a lot more about the details than we do, but I think it's important to keep in mind that we're looking at a strategic goal of having a workforce that is well trained, and we will get there with this kind of investment.
Well, thank you both very much. I want to see if anyone on the committee has any questions or comments.
Well, Mr. Chair, I would just say that one of my priorities is to make the list, so I'm not sure what we're going to do with that, Representative Berger.
Yeah, it's fun, Chair.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chair, Senator Walker, not all of my priorities always make the list too, but the very fact that a list has been developed and a lot of people have bought onto it is a very powerful thing.
I understand that. Thank you. And it's not even for my district. It's for a southern part of the state. But anyway, thank you.
I just, if I may ask one question to use your collective experience and wisdom. Anything else about just the economic, the climate, whether it's just Oregon specific or just the larger picture, financial picture, economic picture, that makes sense to really do a large investment now?
From my perspective, community colleges sit at a unique juncture within our system. We have the higher ed, and it is critically important, and it's also getting more and more expensive, which closes the door for a lot of students. We have the K-12 system. Somewhere between, everybody to get a job needs training, whether they're going to go on to four-year, whether they're going to go into a trade, which I think we de-emphasize and I think we need to start re-emphasizing, but also the skilled work, the nurses, the assistants, all of the whole medical technology piece. These are the good jobs. They're going to be good jobs, but they take investment in infrastructure. We can't just train these people out of thin air. So now is the time we need to get that going, and we need to assure that all of these students, not just those that are going to higher ed, but those that are going on to post high school training, get a complete job-related or career-related or future-related opportunity. And then there's retraining, because jobs just don't hang around the way they used to, and everybody sooner or later has to go back for retraining. Shoot, I came in here, and boy, was I retrained in a hurry. But that's another issue.
And I would certainly agree, Mr. Chair. I think, I mean, when we do get into the next recession, and the next recession is coming at some point, at that point, we are not going to be able to start building new community college workforce centers at that point. We're going to need them to be already constructed, up and running. The other thing I love, if you look down the list of these projects, college by college by college, you will see the type of jobs that are not ones that are going to be exported out of Oregon or out of the United States. I mean, you cannot outsource a dental hygienist. You cannot outsource a nurse. You cannot outsource a lot of these jobs that are going to be fostered and developed at these capital construction project sites. So I think we've got, both in terms of timing, the time to do it is now when we have a little bit of money to make the investment, but also to be prepared for that next economic downturn. So when that strikes, we can have the energy go into that to into those schools.
Any questions? Well, Representatives Hunt and Berger, thank you very much for taking the time to come and testify. Your work has been started long. No, I'm going to make it sound like you've been here forever, but both of you have done a lot of work on this front, and I think there are a lot of people in this room that understand that and really do appreciate it. And again, thank you for coming to testify today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, now I'd like to call up Cam Preuss-Brawley, the Commissioner for Community College Services, to present us with information. And also, I'd like to alert the committee that I was informed that there are representatives from the 15 colleges that have projects. There's a representative from each of the 15 colleges. So if you have questions about specific projects, we have somebody here in the audience from all 15. So just for your information, and with that, I'll turn it over to Cam.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Cam Preuss-Brawley, Commissioner for Community Colleges and the Director of the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. I neglected to introduce my compatriot here when I was before you last. This would be Bill McGee. He's with the Department of Administrative Services and does the I'm going to say the good work on our budget, even though we don't always agree. but that would be his role, right? So if you have questions of a budgetary nature, he is here to help as well. I would also like to extend my thanks, even though I know they have now fled the room, to Representatives Hunt and Berger for their strong support of community colleges and specifically and particularly of community college capital construction. I think that were it not for them and the work of many of the people behind me, the list that we have in front of you or the funded list that we had from 2005 would not exist. I'm going to quickly try to walk through some context setting for capital construction at the community college, what's in statute, what's our process, and then move to the projects. And as Chair Benizio said, there are resident experts behind me. I have done the work with a cadre of community college presidents to do the reviewing and the ranking, but even that doesn't get you to a place where you can really talk about the project or the stage of development that project might be in at this moment. Our process began last February, so a year ago, to prioritize and rank and provide due diligence on these projects. It was approved in June by the State Board of Education. So you can see time moves on, and the projects as presented no doubt have moved along as well. So I'm going to start on the handouts that were provided to you today to talk a bit about the benefits of capital construction, and I'm going to talk about it in terms of how Oregon's people benefit, how our communities benefit, and our economy. We do anticipate that there will be additional students that we will have capacity to serve with the projects that you will hear today. And the facilities are across the state. They aren't just clustered in a particular geographic area. So we're expecting that underserved and very rural parts of the state will have projects, or if the projects are funded, that will reduce travel time for their students as well as expense. We are expanding partnerships with the university system in K-12, as well as many industry and business partners. Much of what you're going to see today in the projects before you are science, allied health, nursing related. I think no less than 8 or 9 of the projects have some science and health lab component to them. That's one of the fastest growing areas of employment in our state, and that with which we have the most alarming crisis in shortage. So we have many, many partnerships, and we do not have at this moment a detailing of the investment that's being made by those local partners, particularly the healthcare industry, in these expansions. The employers will benefit, again, because of the expanded science and technology instruction, and we anticipate it will increase our labor pool. The graduates from these programs will be well-qualified, well-trained, and equipped to enter health science career fields. And Oregon's economy will benefit. Again, we really believe that the expansion of capacity and infrastructure across the state will help meet local workforce needs. Many of these projects are include sustainability of resources and energy conservation, and doesn't talk about something the governor also talks about quite a lot, which is that there will be jobs created in local communities to actually build these facilities. On page 4 of your handout is this statutory authority for capital construction within the community colleges, and just a small quote. It says the state should maintain a policy of substantial state participation in community college building costs. It goes on to say that the local community college and the local community should also sustain a substantial portion of that, and that's why we have before you a dollar-for-dollar match of capital construction. For those of you who weren't in the building or a part of the Ways and Means or other processes last session, you may have heard the quote that 2005 was the first year in 25 years that the state had made a substantial investment in Oregon's community college capital construction. This would make the second investment in that period of time. To talk a little about our process that brought us to the projects that are in front of you, each community college has submitted a list of prioritized projects. We asked them to submit 3 priority projects. That list could not include statutory excluded projects like athletics fields and things like that. Then we use an administrative rule, which we'll talk about in a minute, what's in that. But the project has to fit within the rule that has been established by the State Board of Education. And then we actually rank each project. We have prioritize the capital construction projects. As the representative said, it wasn't willy-nilly. It wasn't who's CAM's favorite this week. It actually was done in a blind process so that the due diligence that was provided by the colleges, we blanked out their names or anything else that might give away who they were or where they were, and ranked them using the criteria. And that's the list that you see in front of you. We do have 12 capital construction projects that are in the governor's recommended budget. It totals $87.2 million Article 11G bonds. And as I said before, they are matched dollar for dollar. I'm on to page 6 of my handout. It's the State Board of Education's process. This actually articulates for you what the criteria is that's in the rule, as well as the additional ranking or principles that the community college presidents and myself worked on to ensure that once it's not difficult to meet the 6 criteria that's in the rule. So you meet that criteria, and then what? So we use the next 3 principles to really hone down the list. It's what I often call a sieving process. Everybody gets into the funnel, but where do you come out in the process? Page 7 are the list of the 12 projects that are in the governor's recommended budget. As you look at that list, if you were part of the Ways and Means process last session, the first 11 colleges are the same as the last, as the list in 2005. So we had developed a list in 2005 only. 6 were funded, actually a 7th was funded because one was pulled out from the bottom and added to the top. But right now the list has really remained static because of the ranking that we have accomplished there. Slide 8 is a picture of where those colleges are on a map of Oregon. And slide 9 is just a snapshot of the debt service that will be paid by the state if these bonds are sold. And I think right now the conversation we're having with the treasurer's office and what's intended in the governor's budget is that these bonds would be sold probably in 2009. Similar to the bonds that are going to be sold sometime this spring for the 2005 Article 11G bonds. So it moves the debt debt service generated forward.
Can I interrupt you? I guess I just did, but just before we go, before we leave this list, I know that community colleges came up with a list of 15 and the governor submitted 12. So could you just tell us right now, while we're looking at a list, what are the 3 projects that are not on the governor's list? And it would also be helpful, I think, to all of us to know where those 3 were, where they were ranked overall.
Mr. Chair, yes, I can provide that information. The 4th ranked project was Mount Hood Community College, which is not on the list that you see in front of you. The 11th project was Chemeketa Community College, a 2nd project that, because of its ranking, bumped up. And the 3rd was Klamath Community College, and that was the 15th project.
And just a follow-up?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Sure.
And can you briefly just tell us what they were, what the projects are?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, yes, absolutely. Mount Hood Community College is a child development center at $2.5 million. Chemeketa Community College is the McMinnville campus expansion at $6.2 million. Klamath Community College is phase 2 of their permanent campus at $7.5 million. And that's not the total cost, that's the cost of the Article 11G. So total would be doubled.
Okay, thank you very much. I believe Representative Jensen has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The ranking I am looking at here on page 9 comes from the governor's budget. Is this correct? Is this what you're telling me?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, that's correct.
And the previous, or not the previous, but the other group that you were just talking about came from the community colleges? Where'd that come from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, that was the agency's request. It was the list that was approved by the State Board of Education with the concurrence of the community college presidents and the Oregon Community College Association Board. Yes.
Okay, so that one was the in-house ranking, and the one we're looking at is the out-of-house ranking.
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, what you have in front of you is the list of projects that made it into the governor's budget. I don't believe he re-ranked them. But I think perhaps Mr. McGee would like to have a voice in this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bill McGee, Bill McGee from the Department of Administrative Services. I think the governor's ranking really is a one and a zero. They're in the budget, they're not in the budget. He didn't make a distinction within that as to a priority of the projects. He's recommending all 12 of these.
That's pretty succinct, Mr. Chair.
Follow up?
And that may be the perception as it comes out, but this body doesn't generally tend to work in that direction. So I think as we look at it, I'd like to have your original that came out of the university, maybe you're not at liberty to do that, but I'd be interested in that as we proceed through this, Mr. Chair.
Well, I think that would be useful for all of us in the decision making. So whether we get that from you, Cam, or Mr. McGee, in our deliberations, I think if we want to make an intelligent decision, we need to see that list of the 15 and the information that would be useful. So I think Senator Devlin had a question.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Pruitt-Smalley, you know that in the previous session, I was very supportive of the community college capital projects and attempted to get what I referred to as a $10 million debt service package go through, but we ended up with about a $5 or $6 million package. For some of these that are repeats, could I assume that in all of these cases, these are add-ons to those projects? For instance, Plants Up, we ended up approving for $7.5 million. Is the $17.5 in addition to that $7.5 million?
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, yes, it is.
Okay, and that would be the same in all of these. Some of them are actually different projects from what they had proposed earlier, portions that we did not fund prior.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, it's a yes-no. Because of the deliberation that happened in Ways and Means last session, some of the projects have been reworked.
Okay.
For those who did not receive the full funding that was requested. And I can bring those to the committee's attention as we walk through them. Most of these are new projects that were not considered in the 2005 session.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just put a couple of requests on the record.
Sure.
Those of us who went through this process last time know just how many questions were asked and how difficult the discussions were. So I'm not asking anything that's out of the ordinary. One of the things I would ask, and maybe some of the parties could comment to come up and later testify, is how their local community college district intends to achieve the half match, whether they're going to use sources that they already have, whether they're going to go to the voters, and when they anticipate that they might go to the voters. Secondarily, this is the capital side to a lot of improvements at community colleges. Have we done any estimates, and I wouldn't expect those today, about what the operating impact might be of all these facilities? And in addition to that, One of the difficulties that we have had with the original package that was approved is a number of the community colleges went out to their voters to get approval, and their voters turned them down. And what sort of a process are we going to have in terms of community colleges that are unable to get their local match? And is it realistic to believe that in a two-year period that all of these community colleges will get their local match? And since we're approving them for a six-year period, not a two-year period, could we anticipate that the debt service might be more levelized or reduced than how it appears? Those are some of the preliminary questions I have, but I think Ms. Cruz-Bowery knows my questions are about half as detailed as one of the co-chair's questions about these.
Thank you. Representative Jensen, did you?
Well, I think Senator Devlin has certainly touched on some of the points that I would have been interested in there. I might have a curiosity point here is with the match money, how many of them currently have it tucked away in a sack somewhere buried on their back 40?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, I think I'd rather they answered that question about whether they had it in a sack anywhere, but
okay.
We'll do that as we proceed.
Okay. I would obviously be interested in that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to start with Clatsop Community College, and I'm going to watch the time, and I'm also going to ask. The president have to leave. Yeah, okay. Why don't you come join me? Just in case you have questions, this might make it a little simpler. We debated, given the time frame, about exactly how to make the best use of the time. So I'm going to cover approximately the same information for every college. And then if you have specific questions, we can either, in the spirit of time, we may have to take them down and come back. But if they are, do you have the match, we might be able to answer those as we proceed.
And just to introduce myself, I'm Lindy Overton, Vice President of College Services at Clatsop. Greg was here. Greg Heyman was here, the president, but he had to leave to return to Astoria to a city council meeting this evening.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you. I think it's only fair that all of you recognize I had some real consternation. I think I told you this about last time when you were here looking for capital construction money when we did our little ways and means travel around the state thing. In a number of these places, including the kickoff that we have here and up and down the coast and throughout much of the rest of the state, I found some of these campuses that were in a serious state of disrepair, if they existed at all, I was most impressed with the vitality that existed in those communities where oftentimes the facilities were at their poorest, and with the enthusiasm and the energy that I found there in support of their community colleges. And I came, and it reminded me, and some of you are aware of this, and those of you who aren't will be when I get through. I spent 26 years teaching in one of those community colleges over in Eastern Oregon. And when I went there, I'm reminded of the incredible enthusiasm and energy that was present on the campus. And as I traveled to at that time to other community colleges around the state for probably sometimes legitimate and sometimes questionable political, as far as the administration was concerned, reasons. I found that in many of these emerging community colleges, the same kind of energy that I found at home. Now, when I travel around to the well-established community colleges, I am prone to find, I think, a lot of settling in to the nice digs that we have, and that we become very routinized sometimes in our and please understand, I'm not in any way disparaging of those, but I wondered, do I want to take a little community college like Clatsop, where they really seem to have some enthusiasm, I'm sorry, I can mention others, but where they seem to have enthusiasm, build them a nice big building at the expense of that energy and enthusiasm. If it isn't recognized as such, it is a compliment to what I think community colleges are in this state. And I'm fully aware that you're not going to lose that enthusiasm, so please proceed.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. We hope we'll keep that enthusiasm for the next 45 minutes.
We're probably dead.
So we're going to begin with Clatsop Community College. One of the things that I didn't mention in our process overview, when we first began in late 2003, early 2004, planning for a proposal to the governor and the legislature in 2005, we made some operating ground rules among the presidents about exactly how much we would ask for in a project, how much would we ask the state to match. Through our process, we arrived at an existing college would be capped at approximately, and we became pretty firm, $7.5 million in match. So if you had a $20 million project, and some of these are, the state's share would be $7.5 million, at least until we reevaluate that. That way, that the bonding capacity would go further for each of the colleges, and they could either create a project or make a project that met that half, so made a $15 million advancement in their facility infrastructure, or they would know that they needed to raise more bond locally in order to achieve the full project, and we also see that in some. That was not the case with Clatsop Community College. For those of you who don't know about Clatsop, it currently sits on about 5 acres of usable land in not downtown Astoria, but right on the edge of downtown Astoria. They own more acreage than that, but it's not buildable, it's not usable, and it's sliding off the hill. So for Clatsop, they cannot retrofit, they cannot redesign, they really have to move. And so what the project that you have before you, the reason that it is at 17.5 rather than 7.5 is because 7.5 won't move them far enough along in a construction of a new facility. Your placard that is here for you to look at contains the information that is in the slides in front of you. This is a planned 175,000 square foot campus, and it will be in Warrenton. It will be built on donated land. They anticipate an increase of 40% in enrollment simply because they will now have space. The total project cost is $55 million, and we are asking for $17.5 million in Article 11G bonds. Slide 11 is a picture of a side of the existing building. It is the oldest community college campus in Oregon. dating back to the early 1900s. Most of the Oregon Community College campuses were built in the 60s, in the 70s, and for Klamath, the youngest among us, it was built in the 90s, the late 90s. So most community colleges are at least 50 years old, but this one is even older. And it is, as I said, it is time for a new facility because it is no longer feasible because of structural problems to retrofit it. Slide 12 gives you a picture of what the new campus will provide. Again, the square footage, enhancement of current services, just being able to, as President Hyman has told us before, just being able to wire the building to carry bandwidth or internet service to provide distance learning is quite a chore given the age of the building and its capacity. As I said, there is an expectation that additional students could be served, and I think it is useful to note that CLATSEP did go out for a bond in May. It didn't pass. They have done a voter survey, and the results indicate that the primary reason for the bond's failure was the proposed project site, which was the John Warren Field, which was in at the north end of town. They have now, I'm not sure I can say re-polled, but they did talk in their voter survey about the site in Warrenton, which is further south. For those of you familiar with Clatsop County, it's across the Young's Bay Bridge, so it's still in Clatsop County, but you don't have to drive all the way through Astoria to get to it. It seems to resonate with voters, particularly in the Southern County area. And I don't know if you have any questions about that. I'll just steam ahead unless you do.
Yeah, I think just for time's sake, it might be best if you just go through them, and then we'll hopefully have time for questions.
All right, the next college will be Chemeketa Center for Health Services. Just in case, I've asked President Gretchen Schutte to join me at the table in case there is a question. Slide 13 is an overview or a picture of the proposal. It's a 60,000 square foot center that would house a partnership between Chemeketa, the Oregon Institute of Technology, and other industry partners. It will expand and enhance current healthcare programs at the college. The total project cost is $18 million. It will be built on the Salem campus. We're asking for $7.5 million of Article 11G bonds. This is the first healthcare expansion project. Slide 14. Currently, much of the programming for health services and other programs at Chemeketa are provided in modular buildings. Gretchen has a great story about they were first purchased in 1983, and they always expected they'd be moved off and as soon as Building X was built. But as soon as Building X was built, there was a need for another thing, so the modulars changed their focus from whatever they were to whatever the new need was, and they remain on the campus. So this would be to replace the substandard portable space that has existed on the campus since 1983. The partnerships that will be provided through this new facility are for three of the university system campuses, so it could be an expansion of a university center at Chemeketa in addition to the healthcare projects and programs. I'm on slide 15. There's an expectation that with the addition of this building, that 250 additional FTE could be served, and it will reduce the dependency on those substandard portables or modulars that are there, and will provide additional space for existing permanent buildings. Okay, I'm going to move. This way they at least get to see who you are. I'm going to ask Joanne Truesdale. Joanne's the interim president at the Clackamas Community College. That's afternoon. This is project number three, and it's the second in the healthcare program expansion. It calls for a construction renovation of 47,000 square feet instructional center at the Harmony site. And this is the site that is currently has a co-location of OIT and Clackamas. But this will increase the healthcare industry expansion programs. And I have a list of clinical laboratory, dental assisting, emergency medical, medical assisting, just a plethora of programs. The total project cost is $20 million. And the requested budget is $7.5 million of Article 11G bonds. As in many places, healthcare occupations are the fastest growing occupations in this community. Since 2002, Clackamas has really focused investments in the healthcare occupations. And slide 17 gives you a snapshot of some of the increased enrollment they have seen in medical assisting, clinical laboratory assisting, and others. This is a great partnership with their local workforce council, because they are working together with them to ensure that the occupations and the career pathways for healthcare are really embedded in this project. Some of the partners that Clackamas anticipates having include Kaiser Permanente, Oregon Health Right Products, the Willamette Falls Hospital, Providence Milwaukee, Adventists, and as I mentioned earlier, this is a partnership with the Oregon Institute of Technology in the delivery of health science programming. I'm probably not giving anybody a chance to ask a question. The next project is from Central Oregon Community College. This is Dr. Jim Middleton, the president at Central Oregon. This is an allied health and science center. This would be the third healthcare project. This might be the time to tell you a factoid. 50%, more than 50% of Oregon's nurses come from the Oregon Community College system, and more than 75% of all allied health professions that are certificated in the state come from Oregon's community colleges. So you don't see this emphasis on the expansion of healthcare and science without reason. It's also the fastest growing occupations, and as we noted earlier, certainly the greatest shortage we have across the state. The proposed Central Oregon Community College Allied Health and Science Center would construct 60,000 square feet of instructional space, 10 classrooms, a couple of large lecture halls down to smaller classrooms, includes a 10-bed nursing lab, 2 medical assistance labs, 2 dental labs, a physical therapy lab, and 6 science labs. The total project cost is $25.4 million. And it will be built on the Central Oregon campus in Bend. The request is for $7.5 million of Article 11G bonds. Slide 20 gives you that healthcare is expected to increase 25% to over 25,000 healthcare jobs in Oregon in the next about the next 7 years. Deschutes County is growing by 16.5%. Statewide, we're growing at about 5.5%. Central Oregon expects, yeah, this triple the amount of statewide growth. And I don't have to tell you, if you've been to Bend lately, it's not just a retirement community. It's a very vital sports and recreational community, and the need for, and also a growing hub for allied health and medical centers. So this is a necessary partnership. You also will know that there is there's an Oregon State University Cascade partnership on the Central Oregon campus in Bend. There will be continued partnership with these allied health programs with the university. Slide 21, more information about growing enrollment and the needs for allied health
and Health Services and Health Sciences. Central Oregon really needs a modern facility, a one-stop, if you will, for its science, not unlike many of the other projects that you see before you. We may have in every community college a science space, allied health space. One of my favorites is Tillamook Bay Community College that's in a retrofitted mortuary. Yeah, they have a lab space that was where the embalming took place, and probably about 5 students can fit in that room. So it's exponentially from there what community colleges need in allied health and sciences. Thank you, Jim. Lane Community College. I'd like to ask Dr. Mary Spilley to join me, the president at Lane Community College. This will be the 4th healthcare expansion project, health and wellness building. This is construction of 72,000 square foot building to provide space for new and expanded programs in. I bet you could fill in the blank. Nursing, emergency medical technicians, therapeutic exercise and rehabilitation, but simulation classrooms, but also distance education infrastructure. We are moving to not just build these spaces, but also make them, I'm not sure how to best describe it since I'm not a techie by any means, but we need more and more of our instruction spaces to be able to deliver distance learning instead of having a special building for that. It really needs to be across the board, the infrastructure that's available, particularly for healthcare, to ensure that a student doesn't have to make their way to a building, but they can have online and distance delivery available to them. Certainly an excellent project that is housed at Central Oregon that serves the very rural and frontier parts of the state could have been a good example there. The total project cost for the Lane Health and Wellness Building is $15 million. It will be built at the Eugene campus. The request is for 7.5 of Article 11G bonds. Lane County is not unusual. It has a growing population that's aging and becoming more diverse, and it has a plethora of unmet health needs. It also has a growing Hispanic Latino population, and in many of these projects there is a specific need for an identification of services that will provide English as a second language and other programming. That's the word I'm looking for. Services is not, but programming. On slide 24, Lane Community College will use this space for a variety of existing healthcare programs. They're not necessarily saying that they're going to have a huge increase in enrollment, but they will be able to have state-of-the-art equipment and expand, as I mentioned earlier, for computer labs configured particularly and especially for English as a second language learners. Lynn Benton Community College, and this is John McArdle stepping in for President Rita Cabin. This is a construction of an additional 20,000 square foot addition to an existing science and technology center. I need to bring to the committee's attention, and I'm hoping that you all received my letter that was to Senator Morris. It was a mistake in the department to put forward the library renovation project as their first priority. That project actually received some funding from a local donor and came off the list as their first priority because it was funded. And in my haste, that's the only thing I can, the only reason I can give you, the library remained on the list that was submitted to the governor, even though I was aware of the fact that it needed to be changed. And so my letter to Senator Morris, and I have had conversation with Mr. McGee and the governor's office about changing the project and the project list to denote the correct project.
So it is not the library. It is a science expansion. It will double the number of computer-equipped classrooms. It will provide integrated laboratory and lecture experiences for students, and it will connect math, science, and health occupation instructional spaces, which tend now to be dispersed on the campus. Total project cost is $7.5 million. The original request to the department for match was $3.75 million. In Article 11G bonds. Lynn Benton currently turns away about 3,000 students a year. I'm not going to tell you that's not unduplicated. A student might try one term and not get in, might try again the next term. But the fact is that 3,000 students walk away each year without the math and science that they wanted. Lynn Benton's strong partnership with Oregon State University and their degree partnership program also has put great strain on the capacity of the college to meet the science and math requirements and capacity that students are in need of. And the last bullet on slide 26 talks about just the necessary retrofitting to make sure that that we have the safe and healthy places for these students to learn is important. The increased capacity, we do expect an enrollment of 290 full-time equivalent. I see there's a question.
Yes, sorry. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The 3,000 students who turn away in the science students who turn away, is this because of the inadequate capacity on the part of Lynn Benton to offer those courses, or is it because of the inadequate preparation of the students to take those courses, or both?
Good afternoon. I'm John McArdle, Director of Development for Lynn Benton Community College. Mr. Chairman, Representative Jensen, the reason those students are not able to get in is because there's not a place for them to sit down.
That's a good reason.
I appreciate your concise answer. That was very effective. If I might comment.
You want to do the rest? Follow up. Okay.
Please proceed.
I think we've made the point on Lynn Benton.
That's what we wanted. What's the point?
We're next to Portland Community College, and I would ask Dr. Preston Williams to join me. They may actually have a question. This is a multi-agency workforce development and corporate college education center. This would be the sixth project that includes an expansion of healthcare programming in the 12 that are in the governor's recommended budget. This would construct an 80,000 square foot center that would house the Washington County Workforce Development Function, the Oregon Health Science University Community Health Center, the Health Professions Simulation Center, and Health Professions Continuing Education Facilities, as well as an OIT Technology Education Center. Total project cost is $22.4 million. We are asking for $7.5 million in Article 11G bonds. Excuse me. I'm on slide 29. You may be familiar with a capital center that has been a partnership in Washington County between PCC and the university system for some years now. It's very likely that the university system will sell their portion. They are the majority owner. PCC is the minority owner. So there is a need to find additional space. Much of the workforce training and customized training that happens at PCC, at least for Washington County, happens out of the Capitol Center. So there's going to be a need to replace that as well as the healthcare facilities. On slide 30,
again, more about the need for, there is, as many of you will know, increasing population growth in Washington County, particularly Western Washington County, and there's a need to have a corresponding facility to meet that need. There is an expectation that there will be an increase of approximately 400 FTE with the addition of this space. And I think, unless you have questions, I'll move along. Oh, questions?
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification.
Yes.
So will this be built at the current site of the Capitol Center or in that general location or at Rock Creek?
Hi, Mr. Chair. I'm President Flames, this is the President for Portland Community College. Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, this would be a different location. What direction would that be down 185th, Randy? It would be south about what?
2 miles.
About 2 miles south on the TriMet line.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Stark.
Your description in our packet looks like it's along the light rail line. Is that correct? Do you think it would be along the light rail line?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Starr, that's correct. We'll build a light rail line.
Have something to do with the sale of property from Willie Cheshire? Is that? Is there a connection there? No?
The OUS, Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, that would be a sale of the Capitol Center, which we're in partnership with OUS.
I'll talk to you about it. I'll connect with you and get details later.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Starr is often ahead of the curve with these kind of sales and stuff. I'm just concerned about the acronym that would be used for the Multi-Agency Workforce Development Corporate College Educational Center, M-A-W-D-C-C-E-C.
Mr. Chair, we were thinking about the Preston Plume Center, but just to cut to that, but I was the only vote for that. So we'll have to work on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to Treasure Valley Community College, the University Center. And joining me at the table is Dr. Dr. Sorensen. Thank you. I'm so embarrassed. Yes, yes. It's not like he's new or anything. Okay, back into the groove here. This is the construction of a 23,000 square foot classroom and laboratory building. This would be the seventh healthcare program expansion among the 12. It would include biology and physical sciences, allied health, nursing simulation, first responder, and EMT, as well as agriculture, including crop and animal labs. This project has already had public hearings in the community and has had extensive support. The total project cost is $4.3 million. It will be built on the existing campus. The budget request is for $2.15 million in Article 11G bonds. On slide 32, Valley was built before certainly before there was such growth in on that west side of Idaho. Currently, a lot of students avail themselves either come to Oregon and attend at Treasure Valley, or because there is no community college in Boise. So there's a growing need there as well as the community of Ontario. So there, it was built and designed, as I said, many of them were built in the 60s and 70s and did not anticipate such a robust student population. As in many places, the students or the classroom spaces are outdated and outmoded, and there is a need for modern agriculture programs and their labs. And certainly the last bullet on slide 3 gives you a feel for that. Slide 33. Treasure Valley will continue in this university center, work with Eastern Oregon University. They have had a 10-year
at least a 10-year-old.
Sorry.
My note says 24 years partnership with Eastern Oregon University to extend the reach of that university and to assist students living in the Ontario community with receiving baccalaureate class degree experiences. It is anticipated that we could see an additional 100 FTE with the expansion of this university center facility. Blue Mountain Community College is the next college. Yes. With me is not President John Turner, but Vice President Margaret Saylor from Blue Mountain Community College. The proposal is the Hermiston University Center in Hermiston, and this is what I call a real community project. This is a 40,000 square foot center that would join Eastern Oregon University and Blue Mountain Community College in the Hermiston area. The total project cost is $12 million. It will be built on land that was donated by the city of Hermiston. They have already received a $700,000 federal earmark for this project. Eastern Oregon University has requested $6 million in the university system capital construction for this project. The city of Hermiston has donated the land, the utility hookups, and the permitting fees. And Morrow County is contributing over $500,000 of operating expenses for the first 5 years. That's why I call it a real community project. The budget request is for $4 million in Article 11G bonds. This is the eighth healthcare expansion project. Slide 25 is really a further articulation of the Blue Mountain and Eastern Oregon partnership that exists. They are the only regional education providers in that part of the world, unless you want to go across to Walla Walla. And, of course, we'd rather they stayed and went to school in Hermiston. They currently, students from Hermiston, there is a small existing center for Blue Mountain, but if you want, most students do travel the 70 miles to Pendleton for service. And the space at the current Hermiston space is increasingly tight and too small to meet the need. The Hermiston Center or University Center, as envisioned, would allow for seamless access of certificate programs, associate's, bachelor's, and master's degrees for that part of the world that right now doesn't necessarily have ease of access. Morrow and Umatilla counties are growing, particularly the western part of Umatilla County, and there is a need for science and allied health courses. If there aren't other questions, or if there aren't any questions, there's
Representative Jensen, that's
cool. Could I ask Margaret a question? Ms. Saylor, what, if any, competition are you experiencing from Washington State across the river?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jensen, we're about 30 minutes from Tri-Cities. CBC has a campus there, and several universities have programs there. And students from Western Umatilla County actually travel almost equal distance from our area to the Pendleton campus or to the Tri-Cities. And so a number of our students do attend classes in Washington, and we'd like to keep them in Oregon.
Ms. Saylor, can you... I'm sorry. For the record, can you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Margaret Saylor.
Not something we normally do in conversation, but
I'm sorry.
Just for the record,
yeah,
so appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, the reason I'm asking this question, I hear rumors that Washington State, which has put quite a bit of energy into their distant campuses, is offering in-state tuition to a number of Oregon students there, which would kind of be interested in talking somewhere to you about that. That's all right.
Okay.
Senator Devlin?
I have a general question. I'm a big fan, actually, of the Oregon Institute of Technology and what it has done with technology-related programs, particularly in the healthcare field. I note that a lot of these proposals are related to healthcare professions. Can you give the committee some idea in the future about what sort of coordination there's been in terms of creation of programs, what issues that you might have along the issues of obtaining faculty for new programs? Since another entity that comes before this committee, the Oregon Health Sciences Center, is making the case for improving graduate nursing programs to provide teachers for some of these programs. But I'd be interested to know how much coordination there's been in terms of, it's very good to educate more healthcare professionals. I just want to be assured that there's some rationale behind this besides I want one in my backyard also.
Mr. Chair, Senator Devlin, I'd be happy to bring that information back because it could begin to appear as though there are these little bits of light across the state then that there isn't coordination, and that is not the case at all. There is certainly ongoing conversation with the university system, the Oregon Health Sciences University, and particularly with the Oregon Institute of Technology to ensure that as they develop healthcare programs that their footprint gets bigger, but it's not as their footprint gets bigger, it isn't willy-nilly but well-conceived.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't mean as an issue of competition with OIT.
Right.
I just thought that OIT's expansion, the work that it has done, has been very well planned and very well received. I would just want to be assured that the work that is being done through the community colleges has as much coordination and planning.
Mm-hmm. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This, in some ways, is a related question, and it's a general question about the programs in general, and I guess the healthcare more specifically. And it goes a little bit like this. I think all of us in the room are very aware of the tremendous shortage that we anticipate in the healthcare field in the next few years. So the fact that you're planning a number of expansion projects doesn't disturb me at all. In fact, it indicates that you're looking ahead. I want to look even a little further ahead and recognize that the big run-up in healthcare needs is connected with both the retirement of the baby boom generation and the needs of the baby boom generation for healthcare services over the next 25, 30, or 40 years. I'm at the front end of that group, and I'm 60. The youngest people in that group are, about 45 now, thereabouts, maybe a little yet less. We are facing a demographic bump as a result of that, and I think most of us know where that comes from. I don't want to go into that, but because we're facing that bump, you, of course, are planning for that period of time. The question I have really is, in addition to the one that the senator asked, is what kind of lifespan are you planning for these buildings? If the lifespan is expected to exceed the period of the bump, what do you plan to do with those buildings after the bump? And I recognize this is out 30 or 40 years, but hopefully the buildings will last longer than that. Some sense of what the long-term planning is would be useful. The time will come when the demographic issues will be different, and you may be planning for other things. One final comment that I think ought to be reduced to a question for you. These, I note, are all internal consumption kinds of issues. We're going to use health care to take care of our people who live in Oregon. What plans are you working on? This may be subject to a different day. We're dealing with improvements in the traded sector so that we actually have workforce development so that we can earn the money necessary to provide these services for our retirees.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, I do believe that you've hit upon a very important point because there is so much response in these 12 projects to through health care. It doesn't mean that priorities 2 and 3 in our listing does not include other manufacturing expansions. I'm very familiar with the a funded project from the Department of Labor at Blue Mountain Community College to expand diesel mechanic. There are certainly other technologies and traded sectors that the colleges are also expending great energy and effort around. But here we find ourselves in a crisis. And so this is, as you said, the near-term response to that crisis doesn't mean it is the exclusive response. And I'd be happy to bring back more information on
that. Thank you.
I
appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I think Senator Duffy. Yeah.
I'm happy to yield.
I think you were a little quicker.
Well, I'm aware of the clock, and so I have somewhat of a general question, Cam, because I know we're getting close to at least the half hour. These are, Mr. Chair, a phenomenal list of projects, and I know we're done with 10 out of the 12. And I think Oregon would be a better place if we did them all. But I've kind of bought into the supposition that one of the mistakes we've made in this building is overextend ourselves in terms of our general fund obligations. And so the easy and immediate question is the one that Representative Berger laid out at the beginning of her testimony, that we are in a better time today than we have been previously, and we could debate, and just did earlier today, whether that better time, how better that better time is. But the more salient question is, in terms of debt services, you look at the volatility of our income stream. We all know the statistics in terms of our volatility compared to other states. And so it's not this 09, 011 question, but it is the future. And I guess at some point, that's the big question that I think many of us, are, certainly myself, are going to want to ask in a couple different venues is, if we continue to say yes to, and this is capital for community colleges, but higher education has the same question in terms of debt service in the out years, what are we saying no to? And maybe now's not the time, but I think that to me is the important question, bigger than the 12 projects that are listed here that are phenomenal, is really how do we as policymakers say yes, and what are we saying no to, and what is the case for community colleges on the capital side to compete for what is a scarce resource, looking at the structural budget challenge that we have.
Mr. Chair, Senator Deckard, I don't think that I could adequately respond. But when I don't mean this flippantly, but when I look at $14 million in debt service, a biennium for the projects that are in front of you, plus the projects that were passed in the last biennium, I would say a small investment by the state over the next 30 years to ensure that 350,000 Oregonians had access to facilities that actually prepared them for the jobs of today and the jobs of the future. But then that would be my take on a $14 million investment.
I think so. Mr. McGee.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senator Deckard, I think Mr. Bender's presentation will be an appropriate place to discuss the issue of debt capacity for the state. When the governor put his budget together, he looked at and used about 50% of what the treasurer was telling us was the general capacity of the state for all the projects you and all the subcommittees will see. So I think that from that standpoint, he thinks that we have done both an aggressive capital debt package, but one that is very responsible within the overall capacity of the state to absorb that as well. And I think we can have that conversation in some detail when you get to that point.
Hold off. I have another question just in those, but I will hold off because to me that's the interesting, important discussion. And I will hold my second question for that moment.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Representative Edwards, did you have a question?
In the interest of time, I'll yield my question.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next college is Umpqua Community College, a Regional Health Occupations Training Center. This is not President Blaine Nissen.
but instead Vice President Beverly Brain. This would be the ninth healthcare expansion project. It's to construct a 100-square-foot training center that would house
I'm sorry, Ms. Chairman, did she say 100 foot?
100,000.
Oh.
Is it going to be a very small training?
Yes. It's
right next. There's going to be one dental assistant.
Yeah, it's near the embalmer, the embalming room.
Cosmo square foot is incredible.
Yeah. It's going to be housed. It's going to be housed in Tokyo.
Okay, this is a training center for dental assisting pharmacy technician, registered nurse. If you can think of a allied health or a nursing program, it will probably be provided at the Regional Health Occupations Training Center. The total project cost is $38.2 million. It's a staged project. This project, the budget request, it's $7.5 million for Article 11G bonds. Slide 38 gives you some detail about the increase of healthcare occupations and their employment in Douglas County over the next less than a decade, a 23.3% increase. The current facilities are not adequate to meet the growing needs of healthcare occupations. And even though UCC has a very strong relationship with Mercy Medical Center, they can't do all of their programming at the medical center. Some of it must happen at the college. On slide 39, again, this project will assist rural students who are either educationally or economically disadvantaged to have access to allied health and health occupations training. And UCC is ideally situated in southwestern Oregon to be that regional training center, to be that hub. And last but certainly not least, this is Dr. Patrick O'Connor. He's the president of Oregon Coast Community College. His project is Aquarium and Marine Science Building. It's a 14,000 square foot project to add the second floor to the Aquarium Science Building that is currently the Hatfield Marine Science Center. It is in South Beach in Newport. Is it still called Newport?
Yes.
I mean, it's still part of Newport. Okay. Total project cost is $15 million, and the budget, the request here is $7.5 million of Article 11G bonds. There are slide 41. I want to remind the committee that there was $7.5 million in 2005 dedicated to the Oregon Coast Community College and their expansion in Lincoln County, several different sites to ensure that the service is available for the county residents. It has certainly Lincoln County has suffered from a number of economic downturns, and there is still a growing need because of the places where the economy is growing, as in tourism, aquarium science, healthcare, and the new wave energy technology that is hoped for in Lincoln County will produce jobs, and we want to make sure that we have the adequate space and facilities for upskilling those individuals. I think I'm going to move on, looking at the clock, to Columbia Gorge Community College, and this is their workforce building. He's being
being cute, he's reminding me what his name is. This is Dr. Frank Tota from Columbia Gorge Community College. The construction of a 23,000 square foot building that will house workforce programs, included in that Small Business Development Center, the Oregon State University Extension Service, and classrooms, 911 call center, regional first responder training center, and the Mid-Columbia County Council of Governments. That's where you get the workforce piece, and the Oregon Employment Department will also be housed there. The total project cost is $19.5 million. We are requesting $7.5 million of Article 11G bonds. The college is looking for $9 million in match of federal funds and $3 million in partnership funds for the construction. The funding of this project is matched with Oregon Military Department, which is building a National Guard Armory Training Center in the Dalles. And so there's a partnership for this building with the military department. And in the given the time, and that you can read as well as I can talk, I think unless you have questions about this project, I'm going to be finished.
Okay. Thank you very much for going through that quickly. I wonder if there are any, I know that it's 4:30, but if anybody has any questions just immediately that I think would be very useful and really like to ask at this point in time, especially since we have folks here from the 15 projects. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd simply like to amplify an aspect of a question Senator Devlin asked earlier. This question refers to the fact that one of the primary barriers to expanding or developing new allied health professions campuses and or expanding existing ones is the lack of qualified faculty. So I'm wondering what is the strategy to graduate more nurse educators, for instance, given the typical income disparities between faculty salaries and practicing nurses?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, I think I'm not going to do justice in this response, but we are, the community colleges are working in concert with the Oregon Health Sciences University and the Oregon Center for Nursing to not just prepare more, but also to look at new ways to ensure that we have the faculty and instructors that are necessary. It's not just build it and they will come, the student, but also how to ensure that we have adequate faculty. And I can't list all those steps off for you, but I can certainly bring that information back.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just very quickly, when you see the operating budgets of this department, Oregon University System, and OHSU, you will see a very coordinated set of packages on the healthcare workforce in general. I think the total of the three is about $26 million. It addresses doctors, nurses, dentists, allied health as well. And it has been very carefully coordinated among the agencies. So you'll see that when we get the operations budgets.
Absolutely.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I'm curious also to what extent these new educational programs will offer additional public health services. I understand that at least some of the campuses do have an emphasis on public health, but at least half the students in some kind of public health rotation.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, again, information that I would be pleased to bring back.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Ms. Bruce Bowery, thank you very much for going through this. For all of you that took the time out of your afternoon and morning to come here, it might appear as if sometimes people are not paying attention, they're coming in and out of the room. I can promise you that we are going to have many, many lengthy, vigorous discussions, and everyone up here takes this very, very seriously. And I think also I'm not speaking out of turn to say that everyone here really does appreciate not only what you do, but the fact, again, that you took time out of your day, your morning, and to come all the way down here and to allow us to ask questions. And the fact that we're not asking a lot of specific questions to individuals does not mean that we're not interested. You might have some follow-up questions later on, but I just want you to know that it really is very much appreciative. It speaks volumes to the dedication that the community college community has, and I wanted, on behalf of the committee, just really thank you very much for doing this. And I think in the, well, tomorrow we do OUS Capital Construction, and the conversation continues. And Cam, thank you very much, and Mr. McGee. So with that, I'm going to close the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you.